When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, in Luke chapter 11, we read this short version of the Lord's Prayer. And then he told them this little story. He said, if you went to a friend and you went really late at night, it was midnight, because you really needed some bread because somebody had come to your house and you had to entertain them. And it was really important in terms of your hospitality. Think of somebody, not just a friend dropping by and they're hungry, but someone who's traveling and needs a place to stay and needs to be fed because there's no other options. But you don't have any bread, so you go to a friend's house. It's late at night and you're bugging them when they're trying to be asleep. He says, your friend, even if they're kind of annoyed by you, is going to be duty-bound to share bread with you. They're going to respond to you. And as he's talking about prayer and how they address God, he then says to his disciples, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open." In that story, what he's saying is, just like if you went to a friend, and even if your friend is annoyed by you, but they're going to respond to you and give you what you need, if you consider that scenario, think of how much more God wants to respond to you. When you come to him in prayer, he's saying, be persistent. Ask and seek and knock, because it is God's good pleasure to respond to you. He wants to care for you and love you. This isn't a one-way conversation in prayer. So we've been talking about prayer all through this series. Today's our last message in this series. We've been called, "Is Anyone Listening?" And I want to talk about how we can recognize the voice of God, because I very much believe that God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to us. And one of the things that we want to learn and grow in is how we can recognize the voice of God. How do we know God's speaking to us? How do we know what God is speaking to us and what we're supposed to do with that? Now, as we wade into that, I want to put out some disclaimers. This is kind of like if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you start seeing some signs for construction. Construction ahead. There's probably some potholes. There's some dangers here. There's some ways that you could get sidetracked. And so slow down for a second so that you can see the potholes ahead of time and you can maneuver around them. So as we learn, hopefully today and ongoing from today, about how to recognize the voice of God and respond to what he's saying to us, here are some of the pitfalls, just things that I want to give as disclaimers today as I talk. Number one, when all we want are experiences that are spectacular and extraordinary, that's a sign of our immaturity. If we approach this whole topic of how do I recognize God's voice, and our motivation is, I want to do the right thing so that God will tell me something spectacular and incredible, reveal to me the mysteries of the world, share with me something that nobody else knows, teaches me something that becomes a great story that I can tell everybody else, that's a sign of immaturity. We don't want to come in that way. Although God does oftentimes speak to us in ways that we look back and say, I can't explain that, or that was spectacular, that was wonderful. Sometimes we do come out with those kind of stories, and God certainly does speak to us in those ways. But if we're setting out, if that's our goal, we just need to know that's a platform of immaturity. And what we need to do is grow in maturity. What our actual goal in prayer is, all prayer is intimacy. We want intimacy. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but oftentimes when we're quiet and listening to God, what we get in return is quiet. And maybe in it we feel peace, we feel the presence of God, but maybe nothing spectacular, and that's okay. That's probably the norm. That's probably the thing we'll experience most. But I think there we will hear the powerful voice of God in very ordinary ways and sometimes extraordinary ways. But we don't set out to just have these crazy experiences that are flashy. We're actually looking for intimacy. We will find that in prayer, the great gift that God gives to us is himself, is his presence. Sometimes that can look very extraordinary. Sometimes, oftentimes, it looks very ordinary. And so we just need to be cautious about that. A lot of times we're going to look back in retrospect and say, wow, I didn't see it at the time. It didn't seem flashy or crazy. But now in retrospect, I do believe God has spoken to us and was leading us, guiding us, even when we didn't recognize it. We shouldn't expect a certain set of results that we've pre-decided. Instead, we're coming into the presence of God, and what we want is more of God. Second, today, I'm going to talk about some common ways that God speaks to us. but I cannot limit God in how he speaks to us. I'm going to share some of my own experiences, and I'm going to share from, if you read throughout the history of Christianity, people who have experienced listening to God, hearing from God, his voice, and discerned his voice, some of the big common ones. But it doesn't mean that these are the only ways that God can speak, and I'm going to talk about four big headings. There's probably a zillion different subheadings under those in different ways that God can speak to us, does speak to us, might speak to you. And so don't take this as the only way that God can speak, and we limit him to this little box. We of course can't do that. Thirdly, I'm going to share some of my own stories and experiences of times when I believe that God has spoken to me. Please, I'm a little hesitant in some ways even to do that, but don't think that I have some direct line to God that other people don't have. Don't think that I am super special. In fact, as we've worked through this series, one of the reasons we've done this series is because I hear so often from so many people that it's hard to pray. I'm distracted in it. I'm inconsistent in it. I have a hard time hearing from God, all of these kind of things. And I just want to say to you that I have experienced and continue to experience all of those things. And yet I also believe I've had times where I have heard from God, where you have heard from God. And so I'm going to share some of my experiences, but I don't expect that God will speak exactly the same way to you the way that he does to me. And I don't want you to think that this is something that, you know, all the time I'm experiencing these big crazy things that you're not. In fact, I just humbly want to come and say there are times in my prayer life where I feel like I'm totally distracted and just inconsistent and inadequate, and I'm not hearing from God, just as so many of you do. But there are times where I feel like I hear from God and times where I feel like I'm learning and growing, and I just want to share that with you. And so we take this journey together, and I hope maybe there's something from me that you can learn, but in your life groups and in your discussions, you'll be able to teach one another and learn from one another. Fourth, a lot of the times when we're listening to God, and I kind of already touched on this, but sometimes we just need to know we're not going to experience this loud, booming voice, something extraordinary, but we experience what I think God will continue to speak to us. Many times in my prayer life, I hear God speaking to me, not just when I sit quietly, but it becomes something that I do on a regular basis that helps me when I come out of my prayer time into everyday life and the busyness, I become more quiet inwardly and hear God speaking in those ways. And so it's not just, hey, if you take 10, 15, 20 minutes in the beginning of your day, a half an hour here or there, that's when you hear from God. But instead, we're learning that our lives, our entire lives become a prayer. And the more attentive we get, which I think comes from those designated times, oftentimes, to be quiet. We bring that quiet into the rest of our day, and that's what I encourage you with. Fifth, and we'll talk about this a little more as we go, sometimes we're looking for God to tell us what we should decide over and over and over. God, give me the answer to my questions. Tell me what I need to decide in this tough circumstance. I believe that God sometimes is very clear on that, but oftentimes what God wants to teach us is not just what to decide, but how to decide. And I'll give you an example of that a little bit later. But what we're hoping to do is grow in our attentiveness to what God is speaking to us. And sometimes, just like a parent would, instead of just like to a little kid, at the beginning, your parent might say, here's what you need to do, what you need to know. But as we learn and grow and mature, that oftentimes God is not just going to tell us what, but how to make good, wise decisions, and then to spur us on to do those things. So be looking for some of those things as we go. Are you ready to go? As we now, with some of those disclaimers, we now head into how can we recognize the voice of God? How do we discern what God might be telling us, how he might be leading us, guiding us, and prompting us? And today, I want to talk about four ways that we can recognize the voice of God. Number one, inner promptings. Number two, scripture. Number three, experience or circumstances. And number four, community. We look at these four things, again, maybe broad headings that we could put a whole bunch of different things under those headings, different ways that God speaks to us. But I want to encourage you to think of those things as spokes on a wheel. There's going to be ones that as we talk through them and as you look at them, you're more comfortable with, or they're experiences that you've had more of, you know, more in inner promptings or more in how you read scripture or how you listen to God in community. And that's kind of where you feel good. But this is kind of like spokes on a wheel, that if you're missing one of them, you're going to have a flat tire. You get to that point and kind of thuds, you stop rolling things along. So what I'm going to say is that these things work best when they all come together, because all of them can be misused, abused. There's easy ways where we can sort of go too far one way or the other. When we come together, they're going to really help us, I think, discern the voice of God and recognize the voice of God in our lives. And as we do that, we need to do it humbly. All throughout this message, what I'm going to say is if we're going to hear the voice of God, if we're going to listen to the voice of God, I think there's a number of ways that we can learn about how we can do that. But if we're not humble, none of this is going to be productive. And maybe you know somebody or you've had experiences with people who have abused the idea of they've heard from God. You know, they've said, I believe God told me to do this. And really what they're saying is nobody can argue with my plan for what I want to do because God told me to do it. Or sometimes they've even pushed it on other people. You have to do this because God told me that you're supposed to do this or we're supposed to do this together. And it even becomes this sort of spiritually abusive thing that we're using the tag of, since God told me to do something, you can't argue with me. I've got divine truth on my side and you've got to do this thing, and it becomes abusive, pushed out. And really what it is just sort of obnoxious. And the way we temper that is with a humility. Again, we're not looking for big stories to tell. We're not looking for something super flashy. We're not looking for to be able to control our circumstances or to control other people. We're humbly coming to want to hear from God. And the greatest gift that God will give us is himself and his presence in our lives. But as we listen to God and as we become more in tune to his presence in our lives, I believe we will also be guided, we'll be led. He'll open our eyes to certain opportunities and things that we might not have noticed otherwise. And that's what we want to do as we rest, as we become still, as we listen to the voice of God. So let's walk through those four things and talk through a little bit how we might recognize the voice of God. Number one, inner promptings. Jesus, and we get this in a number of places. The book of John is a great place. John 14 is a great chapter for this to read through. And Jesus tries to tell his disciples about how he's going to leave the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to continue to lead them into truth and to guide them and to remind them of all the things that Jesus, when he was bodily present with them, taught them and led them into. This idea that I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone, and God's presence is still going to be with you, and you're going to be able to hear from him, and he is going to lead and guide you. He says in John 14, 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus at one point says to his disciples, you know, you think I've been doing these great things for the kingdom, and that's true. But when I go away, you're going to be able to do even more incredible things. Well, how could we? Because God, Jesus is going to leave his Holy Spirit, send his Holy Spirit upon people. And so many people, and perhaps you've experienced this, certainly in the history of Christianity, we read about people who have inner or inward promptings where they feel like the Holy Spirit is just leading me or guiding me to do something or to say something or to experience something. How might this come? Might come in a number of different ways. It could be a feeling, a persistent thought or idea that you just can't shake, an impression or an image. Might come sometimes, doesn't have to, but could come with a strong emotion. For me, I've often experienced this as in silence or in an inward quiet, being prompted by a person, having a person come to my mind that I just can't get out of my head, that it just seems impressed that I need to speak to that person or reach out to that person. And sometimes these inner promptings are no-brainers. So again, one common experience I've had is that somebody comes into my mind in a way that I feel there's a deep impression, like I need to reach out to this person, maybe I need to encourage this person, and I might not have any information of why that might be significant. Sometimes I never get information, I reach out and nothing seriously big or powerful or amazing happens. It's just a simple, hey, I'm checking in on you, how are you doing, can I talk to you? Other times I've experienced things that I have a hard time explaining. I can remember one, this was a long time ago, years ago, but I was on a prayer walk, and as I was walking and just trying to be still and quiet and in the presence of God, a friend of mine just popped into my head, and I got this impression, this prompting that I felt, I need to call her. I should really call that person. At first, I thought, this is such a silly thing. We had this relationship. We were friends in the sense that we hung out with the same kind of people, the same group of friends, and we knew each other even relatively well. But it would have been really uncommon for me to just call her up, especially because I had no real reason to call her, nothing to actually talk about, except that I had this weird impression in my mind that I should. And so I keep walking and I think, oh, that's dumb. As I kept walking, though, I couldn't shake the feeling. This prompting, this inward urging, give her a call, give her a call, give her a call. So finally, I kind of give in. I go, okay, this is going to be so weird. And I'm thinking a couple of things. This is a long time ago. This is before I'm married. And so it occurred to me, like, if I'm just calling this woman up, maybe she's going to get the wrong idea. Like, you know, I have a romantic interest. Maybe it's just going to be really awkward because I'm going to call her up and I have nothing to actually say and no reason to call. And this would be a very unusual thing for me to do in our relationship. And so maybe it's going to be super awkward, but I couldn't shake it. And so I just gave in that, you know, I think this is God just prompting me to do something that seems a little bit weird, but there's no huge downside. Like, it's not going to be catastrophic if it's just a weird conversation. So I finally take up my phone. I give her a call. Doesn't answer. Goes to voicemail. Have you ever called someone and they didn't answer, but you didn't anticipate voicemail? And so you weren't kind of really ready for what you were going to say, especially when I had nothing to say in the first place. And so you sort of fumble through the voicemail message. Hey, it's Dave. I am just calling. Well, I'm not really calling for any reason. I don't have a reason. I don't know why I'm calling. I just thought I should call you. I don't normally call you, but I'm going to call you. Anyways, giving you a ring. No need to call me back. But if you want to, feel free to. Just checking in. Okay, bye. And it probably wasn't as bad as I remember it, but I kind of fumbled through this message trying to figure out, what do I say when I have nothing to say? I keep walking and I think, well, that was kind of dumb. I just must have had a silly feeling, and she didn't even answer. It was nothing. I get home. A little while later, my phone rings. I pull it out, and this friend of mine is on the other line, and I can tell as she just starts to talk to me, her voice is cracking, and she's talking through tears. And she tells me that that day, something catastrophic had happened. She had got catastrophic news in her family, and she had just been sitting there walking through her day, knowing that she needed to talk to someone. And she said, I finally pulled out my phone. I saw that you called. I got your message. And again, there's a lot of times where I've had these inner promptings where I don't know where it went, and there was no great story, and there was nothing special happened, but I also know that sometimes God is just pushing on us a little bit and giving us these inward promptings of guidance or opportunities that he wants us to give into. And I've been learning over a long time to try and trust those promptings, to say, maybe we just need to be obedient, because whether we have a story afterwards and we say, wow, it turned out that there was actually a real purpose in this, or not, that God is speaking to us and doing things that sometimes we see results from, sometimes we don't. But the obedient step to say, I'm going to take that as an inner prompting that God is guiding me to do something, and then trusting that he'll be working in it, whether we see results or we don't. You know, you might say, hey, listen, there's a lot of discouraged people out there. And if you just think of friends and start calling people, you know, if you call 10 people today, 5 of them are going to say, wow, I had a really bad day. I'm discouraged. I'm so glad that you called. This is incredible that you would call me. And that could be true. It could just be a coincidence. But I would also say that if there's that many discouraged people in our world, and there probably is, then I would expect a God of love to be prompting us to call and encourage one another, wouldn't you? And so I have no problem with that perhaps being the truth. You might look at this and you might also say, hey, that sounds great. And there's really very little downside to saying, oh, I'm feeling like God's calling me to do something like encourage someone or serve somewhere or give something away. And you say, well, yeah, and if you're wrong, if that wasn't God guiding you and speaking into your life and prompting you inwardly, no big deal. There's not a huge risk there. But what if I'm trying to make a really big decision? What if I'm trying to make a big financial decision or a big decision with my career or a big decision in relationships or family? And, you know, it seems so subjective, and it's just this weird, is it a feeling or an impression or an image that comes into your mind? Really, is that enough to go on? And I would say, yeah, maybe not. But that's why, again, this is one spoke in the wheel that we include in our discernment process of how God might be speaking to you. And so if you're thinking about a bigger picture, maybe a riskier idea or something that is more important or has bigger consequences, you might say, yeah, we need to slow down and continue to search out through those interpromptings and ask how God might be speaking to us in other ways, certainly. And that's why we make this part of a process that is bigger than just one thing or another. So next we'll talk about scripture. And just as a disclaimer, again, some of us are more comfortable with different parts of this wheel as others. And some, you might say, oh, it's so subjective to have inward promptings. We just need the Bible, and we just need to do what the Bible tells us to do. God speaks to us through scriptures, and so we become obedient and follow him. And I understand that, except I would say if you think that it's subjective, that God would speak to us through inward promptings, just look at how we interpret the Bible. Go into any bookstore or any Christian book website and pick a topic and search through it, and just know that even when we read the Bible, there's a lot of things that become subjective, that we come to a lot of different conclusions from one another based on our interpretation, because the Bible is God's word to us, but it's also something that we have to interpret and come to good conclusions and talk about, not just the context it was originally written in and try and figure out the deep principles, but then also what it means for us in our context and culture and how we live it out. And those things can be difficult as well. We need to dive deep into figuring out what God is saying to us through the scriptures as well. So again, if you're really comfortable with just listening to God through the Bible, I'd encourage you to say yes, but include that in the overall wheel to make sure that it's not just scripture as well, because that can be difficult too. But as we go into scripture, one of the things you'll find is, again, people, you can find a verse to justify just about anything you want to do. So as much as you could misuse or abuse recognizing God's voice in inward promptings, you can in scripture too. You can find verses and pull them out to justify violence, sexism, racism, homophobia, all kinds of different stuff, just about anything if you really want to and if you want to twist things in that way. So as we come to scripture, how do we really discern what God's voice is for us in scripture? And in the Bible, one of the things that's made clear in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament is that the entire flow of scripture is pointing us, leading us to Jesus. Hebrews 1, chapter 1 says it this way: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and in many times and in various ways. This is a reference to our ancestors like Moses, like the first five books of the Bible, which is the law, the prophets who come after, which become part of scripture. God has spoken to us in a number of ways. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. In other words, when we study scripture, we never get the exact picture, the full picture. We never have the full story until we lead it up to Jesus and see Jesus in it. That even when we're walking in really strange passages that seem very violent, that seem very us versus them and fighting and all kinds of stuff, there's a lot of ways we need to try and make sense of that. But we just need to know that we never have the full picture until we see that trajectory coming to Jesus. And so we have laws, but Jesus takes the laws and says, if you want to fulfill the laws, we have to go deeper and see the heart of God. Find that in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus driving us to say the ultimate principle of all things is to love God with everything that you are and everything that you have, and to love your neighbor in the same way, the way that you love yourself. The whole law, all the prophets have been pointing to this, and they hang off of those two things. We see the story of Jesus' birth, his teaching, but also his crucifixion, his suffering that he enters into, and resurrection. And we see that as a pattern for life. Jesus becomes the exact representation or the image of the invisible God. And so when we read through scripture, we're looking for deep principles that help us understand. And ultimately, we see those principles in Jesus Christ, what God's will for us is. And when we can study that, and then we pray through those scriptures, we can start to discern how God is speaking through those scriptures to impress upon us how we should live. Dallas Willard puts it this way: ultimately, the principles of scripture are to be identified most of all from the action, spirit, and explicit statements of Jesus himself. We never get the most clear picture of scripture until we square it with Jesus. We're always moving towards him. This is why when we gave out our framework for prayer a couple of weeks ago, hopefully some of you are still working through that. I know if at first it doesn't seem natural or you're struggling with it, I want to encourage you today to stick with it. Stick with it for at least a month, 30 or 40 days to become routine, so that when you come to listen to God, one of the things you've already done, we encourage you to do, is to be praying through, reading through the Psalms and the Gospels. And as you read through scriptures, not just those two areas, hopefully you're reading scripture, maybe you have another plan to read through scripture in a different way. But the more scripture gets saturated in your brain, in your mind, in your heart, the more you're going to hear God speaking to you through those scriptures. And I know people who have done this for years and years and years, people who memorize scripture and read scripture and start to recognize God's voice in extraordinary ways and in very opportune ways, that in certain times where maybe you're really struggling or you're in a certain circumstance or you hear God speaking to you, prompting to you, an inner prompting, that a scripture will also come to mind that you've memorized, that you've been reading for years. And you'll go, oh, God is just taking that scripture that maybe I studied very academically, but now he's impressing it upon me in a whole new way. He's giving it to me for this circumstance, and I've got that inside of me because I've been reading it, because I've been memorizing it. You'll start to recognize when your inner promptings seem to be Jesus-y. If we go back to inner promptings for a second, sometimes you go, how do I know if this is from God or not from God? One of the most clear tests is, does it square with scripture? And specifically, scripture is interpreted through the lens of Jesus. Does this seem like a Jesus-y thing? Is this a thing of grace, a thing of forgiveness? Is God prompting me to serve? Is God prompting me to be generous? Is God prompting me to reconcile to somebody? To repent, to change my ways in this way or that way? Is God prompting me to do something that is loving? And sometimes you're going to go, wow, and then these scriptures that I've been reading every day and praying through are helping me to discern that. The more that I get to know Jesus through scripture, the more I recognize his voice by his spirit speaking to me. They come together in unison. And sometimes we'll stop ourselves and say, what I thought I was going to be told seems clearly to be taught something different from Jesus. And that stops us and say, oh, maybe that's not a voice from God. Maybe that's a distraction. Maybe that's something that's coming from a different source, and I just need to stop that. One of the ways that I think the Holy Spirit speaks to us through scripture is taking something that maybe we've read fairly academically, maybe we've studied it, we've tried to draw out all kinds of principles from it, but then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just impresses upon us in a way that takes it and then reinforces it in our culture and gives it a kind of a personal touch, or not just an individual. When I say personal, I don't mean individual, I mean communal touch, something that allows that scripture to speak to us today in a powerful way. Not to take it out of context from scripture, but to say the way that this is written also is now saying something to you. You know, this week for me, I was reading in my prayer time, this is part of the framework that we gave you, the first five verses of Psalm 103. And I was having a day where I think I just needed some encouragement. I was struggling with some things. And I was out walking. That's one of the most common ways that I pray, is I walk and I pray every day, try to be open and attentive to God. And as I was struggling through some stuff, just the words that I've been praying all week from Psalm 103 came to my mind, just like God was saying, I know you need to hear this right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that was the phrase. It just seemed like God was just putting that scripture on my heart. Forget not all of his benefits. Don't forget all the benefits of God and his presence in your life. And then the psalmist goes on to talk about how he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns you, and he satisfies you. And it was like God just whispering to you, don't forget all the benefits of being in my presence. The forgiveness, the healing, the redemption, the crowning, the satisfaction. I want to give all that to you right now. It's a powerful moment. The third thing, experience and our circumstances. Henry Nouwen says, when we see time in light of our faith in the God of history, we see that the events of this year are not just a series of happy or unhappy events, but part of the shaping hands of God, who wants to mold our world and our lives. That we have the opportunity in our circumstances and our experiences to see that it's not just random events that might be good or might be bad, not just things that are just happening, but opportunities. Opportunities to see where God is at work. To open our eyes to see the circumstances that are all around us and the things that we're experiencing as opportunities to see God moving and molding the world, bringing his kingdom. When we can reflect prayerfully on our experiences and on our circumstances, when we can look at world events, things that are in the news, or things that are very personal to us and our family, and we include this kind of listening posture in our prayer life, we can start to reflect and see, what is God doing here? What is God teaching me or us in our circumstances? Why has he put us in certain places? This might be an experience of seeing opportunities or doors open for us to go certain directions, or doors to close and say, no, maybe this is not where God is taking us, or to realize we're right where we need to be to do something that God is calling us to be part of bringing his kingdom to this world. In scripture, we can think of all different examples of people that this is true for. Maybe one of the most poignant ones is Esther. Esther is a Jewish woman who gets married off to the king, the Persian king, and the Persian king is threatening basically to exterminate her people, the Jewish people, and her cousin Mordecai comes to her, and there's this powerful statement in Esther chapter 4 where he says, maybe the reason you're in this palace where you have this position is for just this time, for just a time as this. Maybe, Esther, this is your opportunity. Maybe all of these things have come together, your circumstances and your experiences and who you are as a Jewish woman and the circumstance where you were married off to a Persian king so that you could be right here, right now to do something that God is calling you to do, to serve, to give, to risk, to do something that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise done. And again, I think the more that we're in scripture and we're reading the heart of God and trying to discern the heart of God, and the more we're trying to get quiet and listen to those inner promptings where God might be leading us and guiding us in a certain direction, the more our circumstances and opportunities start to light up, where we look around and we see things that we might say, that's a very convenient circumstance, or man, this is a current theme that's coming into place, or I'm seeing patterns that are happening over and over and over, and we're saying, maybe this isn't a coincidence, but maybe this is lighting up as opportunities where God is saying, I need you here. I want you here. Go in this direction. I have something for you to do here or experience here or learn here or contribute here. You know, one of the things when I had a big decision to make years ago, one of the big ones was I was trying to decide where to go to seminary. I had felt that God was calling me into ministry. I was pretty sure of that. That had been a long discernment process. And then I got to this point where I wanted to figure out where to go to school. And I had whittled it down through a long process and prayer and studying the schools and stuff to two schools that I really thought would make fit. But one of them was on the West Coast. One of them was on the East Coast. One of them was in Canada. One of them was in the United States. Both of them seemed like they were too far away and too expensive, and I didn't know how I was going to manage any of those things, but I really felt like these were two places God might be calling me. And so I kept praying about that and trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? Where is he leading me and guiding me? And so at one point I went on a retreat just all by myself. I was out in nature in a couple of days, and I was studying scripture and trying to figure out how does what God is telling me, these inward promptings of leading me, and what I'm reading in scripture could help me to discern in my circumstances with these two schools and the opportunities that I was seeing. And I remember I was studying through Genesis, and I was reading the story, studying through the story of Adam and Eve, who are put in this garden. And God says, I've given you all these trees, eat off of any of the trees. There's just one tree. Don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read that story, that's what they end up doing. And there's all kinds of terrible consequences. And I remember studying that passage very kind of academically and ripping out all principles and all kinds of different things and writing different notes. But then as I prayed throughout that weekend, those couple of days, I felt like God was bringing that scripture and all that I was learning about that scripture. And the line that really stood out to me was when God said, I had given you all of these trees to eat of, all this good fruit that you could eat of. Now there's one bad choice, but I've given you all these. And what I felt him really impressing upon me was that maybe as you look at these two schools, it's not there's a right decision and a wrong decision. I'm giving you some great options. Now use wisdom and go choose one. These are two good choices that you can choose from. It's not a bad choice and a good choice, although there are sometimes bad choices, but this isn't one of those. I've given you lots of trees. I've given you adventures. Continue to look for me and listen for me, and I will guide you and lead you, but go make a wise decision. I think that's what God does for us a lot of times, is instead of just telling us what to decide, he teaches us how to decide. He's not just a helicopter parent, but one that wants us to grow and mature. And then we learn how to listen for him, and he guides us and leads us and then says, no, go make good choices and I'll walk with you. And again, in humility, don't just say, I'm going to do whatever I want and it doesn't matter. No, listen and watch for God, but then allow him to give you some great options and lead you and guide you into places where sometimes you take an adventure. In our circumstances and our experiences, look for things like passion to well up in you or dreams that you have. And again, start to marry those with your study of scripture and with inward promptings that you have, and to humbly look for where God might be speaking to you in those places. Number 4 is community. We don't try and discern God's voice all on our own. And this is one of the great checks and balances that we have, because we know that sometimes, like we said before, we can really abuse or misuse this idea that God's speaking to me. We can become arrogant about it. We can become proud. We can, you know, I'm going to do this no matter what because I believe God has told me this. This is what the Bible says, and this is what I feel on the inside, and this is what my circumstances are. And one of the great checks and balances is we come together in community. Right from the early get-go, this is always the church. Even before the church, we read about it through Scripture, the Old Testament, the Hebrew people trying to discern God's will is we do it together. The early church came together and they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, communion, to the apostles' teaching, like Scriptures, and what they were teaching about Jesus, had that authority, to fellowship together, to be on mission together, and to pray together. We don't just pray individually, and God's going to tell me something that he's not telling everybody else. And one of the great ways when we're trying to discern, is this what God is telling me, is going to people that we believe are also listening to God, people that we respect, people that are maturing. Hopefully there's going to be some people alongside of you that are a little in front of you in terms of what they've gone through and experienced, and you go, I think God might be telling me this. I have a big decision. I feel like God is leading me in this way. I feel like I've heard this from Scripture. I feel like he's put a passion or a prompting inside of me. Could you pray alongside with me? What do you think about this? Do you think this is wise? What do you think of the way I'm reading Scripture? And we come together in community. And sometimes we hope that we have people that will say, yeah, I feel like I can confirm that. Like, that is what God is saying. Or yes, that seems like something very clear in Scripture. I'd encourage you to keep going in that direction. Sometimes we want people that will tell us the truth and say, actually, I think this is a dangerous way to go. Actually, I've been praying about it and I don't feel like that's what God is saying. It's one of the reasons why we come together in things like life groups so we can build relationships with people and have those moments where we say, hey, could you pray with me? Could you pray for me this week, the next couple weeks, the next month, the next year? Could you pray alongside this thing that I'm trying to discern about my vocation or about my family or about the direction of my life? Let's pray together about our church and where we're going together as a community and the kind of things that we should be doing together. And if God's going to tell me something to trust that, he's not going to just tell me. He's going to have other people that can speak into my life that he's going to use to help share in that kind of discernment process. Because especially here in the Western world, for those of us who have grown up here and we're immersed with Western thinking, we're so individualistic. But I think God is always calling us to community and calling us to discern his voice in community. And that brings some clarity a lot of the time. Again, what our goal is in all of these things is to grow in intimacy and maturity and humility. If you're looking for flashy or selfish or grand proclamations that nobody can argue about, I think you're always going to be missing the presence of God, what God is really saying to you, because God wants to come quietly and intimately into your life to speak to you the kind of things that he spoke in and through Jesus, the kind of things that he's going to speak through us in community, the kind of things that when we have inward promptings are going to seem so Jesus-y, so loving, so gracious, so forgiving. And I'm just conscious that as we talk about this and listening to God and in those moments where we think this is so subjective and it seems dangerous and what if we mishear the voice of God? Maybe we should just avoid this altogether. It seems dangerous, like we're being thrown into the deep end, and what if we can't swim and things go awry and we go off to the side? That is a real danger. And there are people who, and I think sometimes we're all some of them where we mishear the voice of God and we might do something that we shouldn't have done. Where there's dangers there, I think that the risk of not trying to grow in our attentiveness to the voice of God is an even bigger threat. To always stay in the shallow end where we don't even try to hear the voice of God would mean that we'll miss so much. There'll be so many opportunities we miss to grow and to hear, to learn, and to experience the voice of God calling us to partner with him in intimacy of relationship, to participate in his kingdom. That it's just such a greater risk not to wade into it than it is to wade into it. But I will always emphasize we do it with a humble spirit, with humility, in community, in concert with Scripture, our experiences, and those inward promptings that Jesus get. As we do that all together, we learn and we grow. And our ultimate gift that we will receive, if we never have an extraordinary story or moment, will be the quiet, still presence of God. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And so if you spend quiet time this week, this month with God, and you find that it's just quiet, embrace that as a beautiful gift. My experience is that often it's not just in quiet moments of prayer that have been set aside that I hear God, but the more I do that, the more I can take that inward quietness into my day and start to recognize the voice of God in all different facets of life that we've talked about today, where we powerfully hear his voice and then have the opportunity to respond and be obedient, to live in that presence of God. And so I tell you this final story that some of you have heard before. I've said it before. Some of you, if you're newer, maybe you haven't heard it before. But I tell you this again with a little bit of hesitancy because I don't want you to think, wow, it's an incredible story. That's what always happens when you hear from the voice of God. But this is a story where I believe that not only I heard from God, but that we as a church, as a community, as Westside Church, heard the voice of God and continue to hear the voice of God and see his kingdom growing. So a couple of years ago, we were putting together, our leadership was putting together our Christmas offering. Do this every year, and traditionally for decades, we have been taking the opportunity at Christmas, we raise extra funds to do projects around the church, to do renovations, or to build this, or build that, or to spruce up an environment in our church, like our kids' ministry area, or something like that. And a few years ago, we decided, man, we really want to partner, we feel like God is telling us to partner with somebody in our city who is doing something that we think is important and powerful, part of building God's kingdom. So we started to do research in different organizations around our city. And after a while, researching a whole bunch of them, we really felt like Food for Kids in Hamilton, it's right on the street of our church building. They do incredible work feeding children on the weekend that otherwise don't have access to food. And we just felt like, man, this was such a great opportunity to partner with someone who's already doing something that we feel like God's hand is in and really makes a difference. So we decided we'd put them alongside of these other projects. And so we put together a wish list, and this is the amount we think we can raise. And we put in it was the smallest project of two or three projects that we were doing. We're going to give this money to Food for Kids. I remember walking out of that meeting, and over the next couple of weeks, I had this inward prompting where I just really felt like something was wrong with that. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just felt like there's something not right. And so I took that as a sign that I should continue to pray and think through those decisions and what we were doing. And I remember one night I was out at a concert with my family, and I'm sitting in this concert. Remember when you go to concerts? It was in a big stadium. There's all kinds of people. One day we'll get there again, I think. But I'm in this concert, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling this impression inside of me. Like the problem was this Food for Kids thing. Like we have to do something more. And I remember sitting there, and this prompting of we need to change the numbers came with a real strong emotion. I got really emotional in a really strange way. Like I was kind of embarrassed. Like, is anybody looking at me? Because there's literally tears coming down my cheek. And I started having this image in my head of kids in our city who don't have food, just seeing that and just getting in this state of feeling like we got to do something different. We got to do something different. And we got to do more than we had planned. That's what was not right about this plan. We were on the right track, but I don't think we're in the right proportions. And this scripture came to my head from Matthew chapter 25. It's this place where Jesus is talking about kind of what we call a lot of times judgment day. And, you know, the sheep are being separated from the goats. You know, the people who are sheep, it's what you want to be, and the people are goats, the people you don't want to be. And people are getting kind of confused. Why are you separate? Who's the sheep and who's the goats? How do you figure that out? And Jesus is saying, well, the people who fed me when I was hungry and gave me a drink when I was thirsty and clothed me when I was naked and took care of me when I was a stranger, you know, basically saying those are the sheep. And they come back and say, but Jesus, how do we never saw you when you were hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger. What are you talking about? And this powerful, powerful line in Matthew 25 where he says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And that's just resounding in my head. Like this is how Jesus separates things out in his mind. If you really get the kingdom of God, if you really understand the grace of God, you're going to project that into the world, into meeting the practical needs of people. And when you do it for the least in your city, in your neighborhood, in your community, in the world, when you do it for the most vulnerable people, when you feed them, you're feeding Jesus. You're having this powerful sacramental relationship with his presence. And I'm sitting there in this concert like a complete weirdo with tears streaming down my cheeks going, we just got to do something about this. We got to do something about this. And so I came home and I wrote all that down so I wouldn't forget it. Felt like this is just a strong prompting. And I went to our leadership and I said, hey guys, we had this plan. I know we decided on it. Would you be willing to rethink that? Because I've just felt like God is speaking to me and saying something different. I want to know if he'll speak to you and say something different to you as well. I think we've got the proportions completely backwards on the projects we want to do. And this might not be forever, but for right now, I think we need to, the bulk of what we give this Christmas needs to be for these kids. And so I asked them to go away and think about it and pray about it. And the board came back and said, we're with you. We think this is what God is saying to us too. We're feeling that same way. So we switched everything around. We took the number we were going to give to food for kids and we multiplied it by 5 times. And then we came to the rest of our community, to many of you, and we pitched it. And here's why I say this, not because I think I have a direct line to God and he spoke to me in some unique way, but because over the last 3 years, I feel like he has spoken to so many of us, nudging us and prompting us. And so many of you watch right now, this year, last year, the year before, in one way or another, and it might not have looked anywhere similar to the way that I thought that God was speaking to me, but he's nudged you in similar ways to say, I'm going to give to this. Some of you, he put in a position and a circumstance in one or more of those years where you said, I didn't think I'd be able to give this much, but I think God put me in a position this year to give this amount that's sacrificial for me and that he's nudging me to do it. And many of you just got along alongside of us on board and said, man, yeah, we feel like this needs to be part of our DNA. And so we're going to find ways to be generous and to go above and beyond. And over the last few years, since January of 2019 to today, our church has given more than $60,000 to Food for Kids Hamilton. That is hundreds and hundreds. That's thousands of meals given to kids. It's literally the difference for some of these kids of them having had a meal and not had a meal. And I look at that and go, what happened? And I believe that when we see those kind of practical things happen, the kingdom of God bursting into people's lives in some of the most practical ways, we go, that's been God speaking to us collectively. And to so many people, just being obedient to the nudge, to the scripture, to the circumstances, and to the community around us and saying, what would it look like if we just listened to that voice? And we said, yes, God, we want to be part of that. Then sometimes in really extraordinary ways, but maybe more often in some of the most ordinary ways, we would see God doing kingdom work, bringing his kingdom into this world, little bit by little bit. And so as I close with that story, I want to show you this short video. This comes from Kathy Hahn, who is the executive director at Food for Kids Hamilton, just thanking our community for the generosity of giving this year again. And as you watch it, I hope that you'll think with me and just see that this bears witness to the fact that God continues to talk to us, that we can discern his voice. And when we do, we see him answer in incredible ways. And then it's our job just to turn back and to give him praise and thanks for being such a good and loving God and making such a difference in our lives and the lives of our city, our country, and the world. So with thanksgiving and gratefulness, take a look.
Hi, everyone. It's Kathy at Food for Kids Hamilton. I want to thank every person at Westside Church. Your partnership with Food for Kids Hamilton means so much to our program and to the students in our program. Thanks to your generosity and your partnership with us, we're able to take on more students. We're able to maintain the students that we have in our program, and we're able to respond to the growing list of students that need support from Food for Kids Hamilton. We want you to know that your donations, very generous donations, make such a difference in the lives of so many children and youth living in Hamilton. As you know, these are students that live with hunger as a way of life. And because of your donations, we're able to send them support on a weekly basis, even during lockdown, even while schools are closed. So thank you so much from everyone here at Food for Kids Hamilton.